7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I am Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day today. Let's see what we can do in 30 minutes here today. Let's see what the Lord can do in 30 minutes. Sky's the limit. If we come to him with open ears, hungry heart, willing and desiring to serve him and to do his will here today. We're just teaching here on the Wednesday nights how we are no longer slaves of sin, but we are now slaves of righteousness. Think to it, you're chained to it. You are chained to righteousness, where you wake up and say, what good can I do today? Pray it's that kind of day here today if you're tuning in early in the morning. And we are going to hear now the second part of this message for today, the man of sin, which we started yesterday. Friday, heading into this weekend here, I invite you out to church this weekend. If you're looking for a church home, why don't you come by and visit? We'd love to see you. We are at 1000, it's Island Community Church in Merritt Island, 1000 North Banana River Drive. We meet at 10:30. Our live feed, which I am pleased to say now we have perfected, and there's no longer any glitches in our audio stream. That will kick off at 10:35 on Sunday morning. And my sermon is, what will be the sign of your coming? The end of the age, Halloween 2021. Holy Communion as well on Sunday, the Lord's Supper. And we'd love to see you. I'd love to meet you. And I extend to you an invitation to come out to Island, worship in God's house here in Merritt Island. Okay, this is the second part of this message. So Wednesday nights, we're in Bible study. We're in the book of Romans Wednesday nights. We had a wonderful time in the Word here just the other night. We had almost 30 people turn out for midweek Bible study. Wonderful questions and answers. Roll out the big dry erase board. And it's a wonderful time on Wednesday nights. And you are invited to one of our services. Okay, second part of this message now. The man of sin. One other thing, too, as well, and that is you can download the app either for this program or for the church if you'd like to watch the service online, or just check out the app. The app's free. Why don't you check it out? Island Community Church, FL, FL for Florida. Or this program, WGOD Radio. There's a little blue crown on there. You can't miss it. Those are the apps we've got going on, the Island Community Church app. It streams the service live, and afterwards I upload the sermon only afterwards on Sunday afternoons if you'd like to watch that, and you'll hear them on the radio here as well. All right, that's it. Let's go back to the man of sin. We're in the middle of a series here going through the book of Revelation, and I'm trying to introduce the man of sin from other places, from other perspectives, before we meet him in the book of Revelation. That's where we're at today.
You see, the people back then were deceived by the same thing you're deceived with today. You're asking the same questions. Paul's laying it out for you and giving you the answer. That day will not come. Listen to me. That day will not come unless two things happen first. Number one, the falling away comes first. The Greek word, apostasia, only used twice in the Bible. Let's let Scripture interpret Scripture, okay? 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, also, funny, it's got the same subject heading as 2 Thessalonians, the great apostasy. 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall fall away from the faith. giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. So the falling away is a prophetic look at what's going to happen to the church of Jesus Christ. It's got to happen first before there's any rapture. A falling away. Question, has it already happened? I'd say perhaps. But I still believe there's going to be a mother of all fallen aways where Christians are all going to be put to the test to see what they're made of. So you're waiting and worried about the rapture, Paul asks. That day is not going to come unless the falling away comes first. And, number two, the man of sin is revealed. Hence the title of my sermon today, Introducing the Man of Sin. Paul said this had to happen first. So let me ask the question. Have you too been misled by false teaching? Have you too been misled by false teaching? I've translated this, the man of sin is unveiled. He might be on the scene for years before he's unveiled. And he's unveiled after something happens. Revelation 13:3 says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. That would unveil him to me, right? Here's another possibility. Revelation 11:7, when the two witnesses finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war with them, overcome them, and kill them. This too will unveil the man. When the Antichrist kills the two witnesses, he'll be unveiled. You'll know who he is. It's only one problem. That happens at the end of the tribulation. Yikes. I would love to see this rapture of the church before anyone breaks a nail, just like everyone else. We saw last week that this whole idea of the Lord coming before the tribulation started from a 15-year-old girl in a trance in Scotland in 1830. That's where all of this started. No one in the church believed this for 1,800 years, and now in the last 100 years. Okay. Now, here in 2 Thessalonians, Paul will give us his own clues as to this man's identity and continue with the theme of what's holding up the rapture from occurring. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Notice, by the way, he's just told you who he is. He's just named him. The son of perdition. Isn't that funny? That's the same name that Jesus named the only person that he lost. Right? John 17. Lord, I've lost none except one. The son of perdition. So that the word of God may be fulfilled. According to Jesus, a Judas Iscariot was the son of perdition. Paul says the Antichrist is the son of perdition. He's given him a name. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember, Paul's giving you a list of what has to happen first before the rapture. And I'm sorry if all this seems foreign to you. The Antichrist will sit as God in the temple of God. Now that brings us to another thing believers are waiting for. They're waiting for a new temple in Jerusalem. Right? Matthew 24:15, Jesus said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Whoever reads, let him understand. So that's number three. And now throw this verse into the mix, and you're going to have quite a time here on planet Earth. And that's Revelation 13:8, which we'll focus on next week. It says this. It says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Thank God for this comma. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But this verse, Revelation 13:8, is your greatest evangelistic motivational tool that you have. All that dwell on the earth will worship him. Certainly you know someone, a son, your daughter, your parent, your mother, your father, your friend. Everyone's interested in this topic. Why do you think Hollywood keeps making movies about it? The Clash of the Titans, Jesus versus the Antichrist, end times and the end of the world. But the Bible says, all that dwell on the earth will worship him. Who do you know? Everyone whose name is not written in the book of life is going to worship. Even the atheists and the agnostics, those that don't give a rip about religion, everyone's going to worship him. Whose names are not written in the... If you have not received Jesus Christ yet as your Lord and Savior, you will call this man Lord. Or you'll die first. And you won't have to, and still end up in the same place. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. What a scary thought that is, isn't it? Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, that I told you these things? And now you know what's restraining, so that he may be revealed in his own time. So Paul informs us here that something, here it's in the neuter actually, something is holding back the unveiling of the man of sin. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, now it's in the masculine, only he who now restrains will continue until he is taken out of the way. So you see, this Antichrist is a spirit. And throughout the years, it's manifested itself through various people, like Nero and Hitler and others who hate Christians and Jews. Paul said the Spirit's already at work. It's already at work here in the world. To help us understand this text here more, let's turn to the man who invented the word Antichrist. And that would be in 1 John chapter 4. If you'd like to turn there with me, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Starting in verse 2. John says, for by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ. Now every time we see Jesus Christ here, let's substitute the Messiah. A Christ was not Jesus' last name. A Christ means Messiah. That's what he's talking about here. Every spirit that confesses that the Messiah, or every spirit that confesses that Jesus is the Messiah, or that the Messiah, every spirit that confesses that the Messiah has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the, what's it say? Antichrist, capital A. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is in this world today, infecting people. It's preparing people for the arrival of the man of sin, of whom Daniel said the man of sin won't have a desire for women. That's the last verse I gave you for your handout. Daniel 11:37. The man of sin won't have the desire for women. Now let your imagination run away with you. I said the spirit of Antichrist is infecting people all over the world, preparing them for the arrival of their God. Again, verse 7. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work, like yeast. Only he who now restrains or holds it back will do so until he's taken out of the way. See, the time is coming when the great restraining force is going to be taken out of the way, and then there will be nothing good, nothing powerful, nothing righteous holding him back any longer. The Holy Spirit restrains the evil like Hoover Dam with his little pinky. Remove that pinky, or like New Orleans after the last bad hurricane there. One dam holding up all that water. Take that dam down, and what happens? That's the picture of the Holy Spirit holding back evil. The Holy Spirit restrains this evil. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The breath of his mouth is the Lord is going to tell this man, drop dead, Fred. That's it. That's all he has to say. As the Lord says, peace be still, and the waves stop, and the wind stop, he says, drop dead to this man. And that's it. He will be destroyed by the words from his mouth and by the brightness of his coming. Revelation 19:20 says this, then the beast, this is man of sin, was captured, and with him the false prophet that worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived all those that received the mark of the beast. Think about that. He deceives all those that receive the mark of the beast. When people take the mark of the beast, they're going to be deceived into taking it. Like Eve was deceived. Eve said, the serpent... Right, a serpent deceived me and I ate. 4 billion people are going to do this at the end of the age, and they're going to be deceived into doing it. And that's where you come in. That's where you come in, church. You've got tomorrow's newspaper today. You've got the winner to every race. Everyone here, you know the future. I mean, a third of the Bible is all prophetic in nature. God wants you to know what happens before it happens. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We'll close off this message the same place we did last week, starting in verse 9. Here we get to look behind the mask and see who the real enemy is. Now, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, so that they might be saved. And for this reason, that's refusing love. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they should believe the lie. Think about that. First of all, what a thing to die for. You're going to die and go to hell because you're upset that God loves you. Pam, I think we need to lock them up with you for a couple months. Help people understand that. When the smoke clears, you've been deceived. You're upset because God loves you. What a thing to die for. Notice you don't die for your sins. Someone already did die for your sins. You're dying for refusing love. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish. All you got to do is look at the serpent on the stick, and you'll be saved. And yet 23,000 went, I'm not going to do that. People die at the end of the age for refusing the love of Jesus Christ. That is a stupid thing to die for, if I can say. But people are deceived into doing that. You know, before you go out and meet people and talk to them about Jesus, pray first that God would open up their eyes and they wouldn't be deceived anymore. Because it takes an act of God to remove the veil from people so that they can see, no matter what you say to them or how good of a speaker you are. If God doesn't remove the veil from their eyes, they'll never see the truth. Pray. All right, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they should believe the lie. The lies earlier in the chapter. The man sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All right, you got a new temple in Jerusalem. You got a throne in there. You got the Antichrist sitting on it. You got the Antichrist telling people that he's God. And you got nigh on 4 billion people believing it. Everyone whose names are not written in the book of life are going to call this man Lord and bow the knee to him. And God is the one that's going to give you the delusion so that you do that. This is why he says, today, now, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day to believe and receive Jesus Christ while you can still think clearly. All you got to do is receive the Lord and you'll be saved. All call on the name of the Lord will be saved. With the heart one believes. Under righteousness, where the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's all. Someone's already done the work for you. Someone's already died for you. It's so simple, Satan will try to deceive you in thinking it's more difficult. As many as will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they should believe the lie and so that they all might be condemned. The King James says, so that they all might be damned who did not believe the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do you believe? Have you received? Do you call Jesus Christ Lord? Is he your Lord? That's the question today. Is he your Lord? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. For everyone here that is uncertain, or those that hear this on the radio this week or on the podcast, we read God telling us that today, right here today, if we hear his voice, that we don't harden our hearts like the Jews did. Would you call on the name of the Lord here today? Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God, and you're my Lord, and I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. I call on your name to be saved. And I pray, and I turn and repent of my sins. I pray you would cleanse me from all of my sins. Forgive me for all the sins I've committed against you. Give me a new heart now, Lord. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
My heart.
You're listening to WMIE.